Hey everyone, welcome to the Encounter Church Sermon Podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this message. As you take time to process this teaching of Scripture, we at Encounter Church hope that it leads you to have a real and meaningful encounter with God, because we believe that people need an encounter with God more than anything else. We hope you enjoy the message.
We're in a series on prayer. It's called PUSH, which stands for Pray Until Something Happens. I'm excited about it. I hope you guys are too. I'm going to explain what PUSH means later on in this message. But first, let's just get real honest about our prayer lives, shall we? It's okay for you guys to give feedback. I love getting feedback here in church. Church is not a library, so please make sure, you know, raise your hand, give me a shout, say amen if you agree with any of these. How many of you begin your prayers in the exact same way every single time? Oh, I learned as I was thinking about this that my line is, Lord, thank you for this day. Anybody else? Show of hands. Use that as the opening line to all of your prayers. Lord, thank you for this day. Come on. All right, a couple of you. In response to a friend, how many of you have ever said, I'll pray about that? How many of you have ever said to a friend, I'm praying about that? Yeah, totally. Sometimes we like forget. Anybody in here guilty of saying that you'll pray about something and then just forgetting to? Come on, let's be honest here. All right, give us, how about this one? Traveling mercies. I don't know why we were praying for traveling mercies. This is not normal English language. Nobody talks like that. We just need to stop. We just need to find new phrases. Go where you're going to go. The Lord's will is going to be done regardless. How about this one? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I don't know why we're bowing our heads and close our eyes. I mean, I get it. When I was a kid, it was explained to me. You know, it's a way to eliminate distraction and put yourself in a posture of honor towards God. I get it. But like, open your eyes. Especially if you're praying in your car, keep your eyes open. It's better for everybody if you do. How about this one? Bless this food to our bodies. Anybody? This is a stupid prayer. Why? Because the decision to eat the food has already been made. What you're really asking for is, may this food bless my taste buds? Come on. We all know it's true. Here we go. Next one. How about the person in prayer who just repeats the same thing over and over and over again, like Father God, Father God, Father God, Father God, Lord God, Lord God, Father God? No, this one's not connecting. Daddy God, maybe? Okay, all right. All right, on to the next one. How many of you have ever said or been in a circle that said, who wants to close in prayer? That's the part where you literally lose everybody in your small group because you had eye contact, you had engagement, people were interacting with your questions until you said, who wants to close in prayer? All of a sudden, everybody's got something to do, a message to check, and no eye contact being made. Come on, you right? How about this one? Anybody ever stood in a circle and held hands while praying? Yes. How sweaty do your hands get by the time you are done praying? When I was a kid, we used to do this thing where we'd stand in a circle in church and pray, and we'd do the hand squeeze. Anybody ever do the hand squeeze where it like starts at one end of the circle and everybody's invited to pray? But if you don't want to pray, you just squeeze the hand of the person next to you and just pass it down the line until it gets to somebody who wants to pray out loud, and then they do. Well, like the thing is, young people are really bad at reading signals and cues. And so they think like someone scratching their finger or adjusting a ring is like a hand squeeze. And before you know it, two people in the circle are praying and they're at different points in the circle and they all thought they got their hand squeezed. Anyway, let's move on from this. Okay. How about this one? Anyone ever heard someone say this to you? Be careful what you pray for. That's so judgmental. It is so judgy. You know, someone who's like, be careful about praying for patience because God might give it to you. Like you can just feel the raised eyebrows coming through that question, right? How about this one? Lord, I'm praying for a sign. Anybody ever prayed for a sign before? I have, but we have this like really small piece of scripture, you know, Gideon and the fleece, and now we've built this whole theology of prayer based on this like asking God for a sign. But yeah, I don't know. God is in the business of getting signs. We'll just see. How about this one? Anyone ever sat down at the dinner table? You've already taken the first bite of food and someone at the table says, let's pray. and you're chewing and you're trying to get through that first bite without anybody noticing that you already started eating. So awkward. How about this one? I'm praying for my future spouse. Okay, here's the deal. You don't pray to people. We don't pray to people. We pray to God. And so you want to pray to God about your future, like pray for yourself that you would be pure, that you would be focused, that you would be ready to meet that person in a mature, healthy way by the time that that person comes. How about this one? I'm in a season of prayer. No, this one is funny. You know why? Because there are no seasons of prayer, because the Bible says pray without ceasing. There's no season we enter prayer or exit prayer. So the whole season of prayer thing, let's just abandon that one for now, shall we? Okay. How about last but not least, when somebody's done praying, they say, everybody said, amen. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. I just pulled that one on you tonight after worship. But let me just float the question to you, and we're going to just wrestle with this tonight as we get to the creative. Who taught you how to do all of those things? Who taught you to do it? Now, you probably just learned it from wherever you're growing up. I mean, as a child, you learn words, your behaviors, relationship skills. It's really easy to observe that in young people as you watch them grow and walk. There's a guy, Daniel Henderson, who's written a lot of great content on prayer, and he's an author. He speaks publicly. I've heard him live. I've read a couple of his books. He says this, we learn to pray through the modeling of those we love and respect. That doesn't necessarily have to be our family when we were growing up. But that could just be anybody involved in our life. It could be the people in your local church, or it could be the people in your home. It could be something that you're repeating things that you've heard adults say. But what's cool about prayer is it's your conversation with God. And so it's always going to include, even if you've picked up some phrases from your home or your local church or wherever you learned how to pray from, it includes like the nuances of your unique personality, which is cool when you think about communicating with God in a way that's relational, which is cool. So for me, I didn't hear a lot of prayer in my home growing up. So a lot of what I learned from prayer, I learned from youth group leaders and listening to people in Bible college. And when I was older, I did a lot of hard work of reading and learning how the scriptures teach us to pray. And I remember like in preparation, you know, for my relationship with God, there were seasons of my life when I just didn't want to get caught being unauthentic before him, because I believe that God deserves more than that. So for example, when I first started following Jesus, I was 21 years old. I was a young adult. And I remember being in church singing the song, Shout to the Lord, All the Earth. Do you remember that song? Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Yeah, no one's like paying me to sing, but here we go. But I remember looking around at everyone who just seemed to be mumbling. Like standing still, hands in the pockets, just kind of mumbling the lyrics. And I didn't want to be a worship mumbler. If I'm going to say the words, shout to the Lord, I wanted to be telling the truth because I'm talking to God. So I always want to tell God the truth. And so if I'm going to sing these words, I'm going to do whatever the words are saying, or I'm just going to not sing the words at all. And the same is true with prayer, because God deserves the truth. He deserves for us to act on to act out in a certain way, in a way that he deserves, that is the most authentic, the most real, and the most truthful. So I want to just repeat certain phrases just because we've learned them growing up, but we want to be true before God. And so tonight, we're just going to get you thinking about the phrases that you use and why you use them. So prayer, it should be the same way as our worship. It should be vibrant, it should be real, it should be different, it should be full of variety, but above all, it should be personal, because it's you in a relationship with God. And though we say certain things because they're appropriate to say as far as greetings or making requests, they contain the uniquenesses of your personality. And I think that God really enjoys the uniqueness of your personality. It's great. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about what prayer is and what prayer is not. And then we're going to turn the authority back over to you. Here we go. What is prayer? There's two things that you'll see up on the screen here behind me. Number one, prayer is a way to communicate with God. And number two, prayer is a way to praise God. So let's focus on that first one for just a second. Prayer is a way to communicate with God. What does that mean? Well, communicating with God is simply just like how we talk. It's how we share our thoughts. It's how you hear his thoughts. It's how you express your needs. It's how you vent. It's how you cry. It's how you laugh. It's how you connect. And it's just like it is at home. You know, Kristen and I do some of our greatest connecting on our walks together. We try to walk every day, but when it's raining, we skip it. When my back hurts, we skip it. When it's too cold, we skip it. When it's too hot, we skip it. And it's so sad. But anyway, when we do walk, it's a chance for one of us to download our thoughts to the other, and it's a chance to upload the thoughts of this person that we love about everything that they're thinking about, whether work, or parenting, or relationships. And prayer is the same way. It's our chance to communicate with God, to download our thoughts, and to upload His thoughts while we are talking to Him. The second thing that prayer is a way to praise God. Why do we praise God? Well, because God deserves our praise. It's as simple as that. He deserves words of affirmation, you know, words of encouragement, words of acknowledgement. God deserves for there to be a cathedral of words built into a beautiful structure that wows the listener's imagination and stimulates all of our sentences. So let me read for you an example of prayer, specifically a prayer of praise. And this is in the Bible. This is 1 Chronicles 17. This is a book that we don't open very often, just in our personal time or in our sermon time, but Chronicles, outlining the life of the kings, chronicling the life of some of the kings of Israel. In chapter 17, David is reflecting on his own life, and he's bringing the experience of his own life before God. He's uploading or downloading his thoughts to God and expressing the way he feels about how God is treating him. And then in this, he finds a way to praise God for it. Now, see if you can pay attention here. This is 1 Chronicles 17, starting in verse 16. Then King David went in and he sat before the Lord and he prayed. Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And so he's basically saying, like, I'm not that great. Like, I'm nothing special. I'm just this person. Like, what did you see in me that you would choose me? David is reflecting, which I think is a really great posture before God. Like, I don't know why you're doing this with me, God. I don't know why you're involved in my life. I don't know why you would come up with such a great plan to give me this blessing, but here I am. And now, he says, continuing to read, O God, in addition to everything else, you speak of giving your servant a lasting dynasty. David is reflecting, not only am I just a man chosen by God, but I'm a man chosen by God to become a king, which is crazy. You speak as though I were someone very great, O Lord God. Continuing to read, what more can I say to you about the way you have honored me? Meaning, David's basically just humbly saying, I am blessed, I am honored. There are enough words for me to say, like, how privileged I am to be chosen by you to become something so great. You know what your servant is really like, which is a very great, like, perspective when he's like, you know my secret life. And that's the truth, that God knows our secret life. And it's better to just be truthful and open and honest with Him as we're downloading and uploading our thoughts with God. And then continuing to read in 1 Chronicles 17, he says, for the sake of your servant, O Lord, and according to your will, you have done all of these great things and have made them known. A beautiful, beautiful statement. Why? Because David in his prayer is acknowledging God for who He is, omniscient, omnipresent, and all powerful. He's recognizing that God is the one who orchestrates life, who carries out things according to His plan and His will, and it's not ours that can thwart it. It's a beautiful, beautiful admission. And then he finishes in verse 20. He says, O Lord, there is no one like you. We have never even heard of another God like you. I love this prayer. I love this prayer of David because it's this beautiful waltz of this joining of two dance partners. One recognizing that every good thing in life is credited to God. And then the other dance partner, who is God, has taken the lead in orchestrating some beautiful movement. That's a beautiful way to communicate with God. It's a beautiful way to praise God because it admits that as a human being, I'm flawed, I have issues, I have a secret life that I'm not very proud of, but God in His beauty, in His majesty, in His mystery, welcomes me as I am to accomplish His will. It's awesome. Okay, what prayer is not? Take a look up at the screen here. You'll see three different things on the screen about what prayer is not. And I just want to make a couple comments on each one. So number one, prayer is not a way to bargain with God. We don't pray for the purpose of manipulating an outcome. And though I am guilty at times, like example, earlier this year, I prayed that the Eagles would win the Super Bowl. I prayed that they would beat the Chiefs and come out of that game victorious. I did. I prayed at the dinner table. I did it in front of my kids. I guess this is a little bit of a connection, but deep down inside, I knew that what I was doing was selfish. And I knew in my heart, in prayer, that authentically, I wanted to give way to God's will, whatever his will would be. And so, yes, whatever God's will was, God's will be done. And there's nothing that I could do or say or think or wish for or hope for that would make it any different than that. But selfishly, I wanted a certain outcome. But prayer is never a way to bargain with God to make an outcome that we want. Here's another one. Number two, prayer is not a way to make demands. We never approach God and demand a certain outcome. We never demand of God that whatever it is that we are facing or whatever it is that's in front of us play out in a way that we have decided it should play out. We can beg God for an outcome, but that's different than demanding. No one tells God what to do. Just like no one backs a baby into a corner. Come on. No one tells God what to do. No one. And so shame on us for demanding an outcome from God because it is our wish or our desire. Prayer is not a way to make demands. But we can pray boldly, right? We can pray boldly and beg for certain outcomes. There are things that are happening in the world right now, in Israel, in the Middle East, you know, and I'm begging for a peaceful outcome from this. I'm begging God, but I don't know what God is going to do or allow or stop in this circumstance or situation. We beg God for outcomes, but at the end of the day, we accept the outcome according to God's will and we praise him for it. Here's number three. Prayer is not therapeutic meditation. We don't pray to make ourselves feel better. I know that's a subtle answer to what prayer is not, and it does fly a bit in the face of cultural expressions of what prayer is as far as thoughts and vibes and quiet meditations and sitting in a way trying to connect with your inner self or whatever. But I'm real with this one. We don't pray to get pumped up. We don't pray to resolve some sort of inner anxiousness or anxiety. Here's the thing. We become pumped up as a result of prayer. Why? Because we are connecting with the source of life. We are connecting with a God who has the power to comfort us, to heal us, and to empower us to face whatever challenges that's in front of us, whatever challenges that's creating this inner anxiety in our flesh that we feel. And I know that's a subtle difference, but it's different than therapy. God is an audience member like no other. He is enthroned in heaven. He's has the seat of honor in the position, and we bow at his feet not to receive, steal, or take something from him, but we give to him what he wants and what he deserves. So when we pray to glorify God, we pray to glorify him, not to feel better. And if you feel better after that prayer, that kind of makes sense. Why? Because you did what God wants, because you did what you were created to do, and you met with and you had an encounter with the one who can change you. So when we pray, we are absolutely changed. But we pray to communicate God with God, and we pray to praise God, not to get something, steal something, or take something from him. Who taught you how to do that? Have you ever thought about that question? Who taught you how to do all of these things? Now, we're going to finish by giving you received a piece of paper coming through the door, and on that paper, there's some questions, there's some blank spaces for you to fill in some of your thoughts. But we want to make sure that you have a little bit authority in tonight's service over how you take this teaching, these scriptures, these thoughts, this theology of prayer that we're beginning to just unpack. This is part one of six parts that we're going to unpack. And write a few things down and give some space for God to reveal some things in you about your prayer life, because your prayer life needs to get better. All of our prayer lives can get better as we're stretched, grown, and exercised and worked out in this way. All right, so at the top of your paper, you see the word PUSH. And you'll see it up on the screen behind me now. PUSH is the name of this series, and it's an acronym that stands for Pray Until Something Happens. Here's what it means. Beginning with the first letter P, stands for prayer. Pray until something happens. The first letter P stands for prayer. That's just our conversation with God. Tonight's sermon, we just covered it. We covered what prayer is and what prayer is not. It's very short. There's more to say about it, but we're going to say more about it as the weeks come on. So P stands for pray. Pray converse, have a relationship with God. Here's the second letter, until. The until is for the rest of your life. We pray in every season. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12 says, keep on praying. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Not just when we're struggling, not just when there's hardship, not just when there are things going on in our life that are a little bit scary, but we pray in every season and every occasion until. There is not a season of prayer that begins and ends. We pray with God for the rest of our lives. It's a conversation with God that does not end. Let me get a little spicy with you here for a second. Have you ever noticed that the part where we drop prayer is usually in the moment when our anxiety regarding whatever prompted the prayer request ceases to be a felt discomfort? Have you ever noticed that? That like we will offer prayer to God, or a request to God, or we need, you know, I don't know, something to be healed in us, or of a situation to be resolved. And we usually drop prayer when the felt discomfort of that situation dissolves. And I just want to challenge you guys that there's not a season of prayer that we enter into and then leave. Prayer is an ongoing conversation with God that never ends. And so if there's a situation in your life that needs to get worked out, and it's 2 weeks post it getting worked out, circle back around and thank God for that. Take some time to just remember and praise God for something that he did in resolving that circumstance. Hey, God, I just wanted to praise you for the way that you guided me through this situation, or the way that you comforted me in my moment of discomfort. So that's the until. Now, the last two letters, the S and the H in push, pray until something happens. The S and the H stands for something happens. We're going to dig into this as we navigate through this push series. Here's the something. The something happens. This, I'm going to break it down into two parts and answer it in two different ways. Now, number one, the something could be until a miracle happens. A miracle, like an actual miracle. Yes, I believe in miracles, and I believe that Encounter Church believes in miracles. As a church, we're going to believe God for miracles as God's will is revealed to us. Now, a bold prayer, I believe, can affect change in life, and we are a church that believes in bold prayers. If God wants to do it, if he wants to do it, I am here for it. And so something that you are praying about might actually change through God doing a miracle. And I think that that's awesome. So if you got something crazy going on in your life, pray until a miracle happens. But here's the second part about the something happens. And I actually think this happens 99 times out of 100. Is the thing that changes is you and me. We pray until I change. Pray until something happens in me. The something that most often changes when we talk to God about something personal going on in our life is that a personal change takes place inside of me over time as my heart, my spirit become more aligned with God the more that I pray with him. And so I might not like what's happening in my life. I might be concerned about something that's coming up might cause me anxiety or give me a felt discomfort. But to summarize the something happens, yes, we're a church that believes in miracles and we are here for it if God chooses. But when we pray to God, we need to make sure that our hearts, our minds, and our spirits are open to the change in me that needs to happen so that I can align with God and his will. Who taught you how to pray? Who taught you how to pray? Now, we're going to move on to the creative here and pull out that piece of paper that I gave you coming through the door. And we're going to begin to ask some questions about ourselves so that we can become better at prayer.
Thank you so much for listening. At this point in our service, those in attendance transitioned to a hands-on activity designed to help make the scriptures stick. We hope that one day you'll join us in person as we strive to engage the disciple of Christ through multiple learning styles, hands-on creatives, and in-person serving in our community. Check us out at www.encounterchurchberks.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter and follow us on social media. Have a great week!